Now, I'm joined in the studio by Andy and by Sean from St Francis Hospice, who are here to talk about Christmas tree recycling. So very good morning to both of you.
Good morning to you.
First time that I've met both of you in the studio.
Yes.
Although you have been on other shows. So first of all, let's ask what you do. So Andy, what do you do at St Francis Hospice?
So currently I'm part of the local engagement team at the hospice. That's really doing anything locally. A lot of my work is small to medium sized businesses in the way that they want to support the hospice. And it's an absolutely very rewarding job.
And what about yourself, Sean?
Yeah, so I'm exactly the same. So I'm also part of the local engagement team. There's a team of three of us at the moment, soon to be joined by four, which is fantastic. But we talk to anyone out in the community that wants to do anything for St Francis Hospice, and we're there to see them throughout their fundraising journey.
Now, just for people out there, you do get a little bit of money from central government,
yes.
But the majority of your money comes from donations and from people doing the fundraising, doesn't it?
Can answer that very clearly. We get 23% from the NHS and government combined. So if you flip that, you can see how much needs to be raised in voluntary income.
And how many beds have you got at St Francis at the moment?
Yeah, so we are a 22-bed inpatient unit, but with funding, we can only fund for 18 beds.
Yeah.
So it's a difficult job, but we are keeping that fundraising going to try and get a couple more beds for the hospice.
And also, it's not just at the hospice with the patients that come in. Mm. You also go out to people's homes, so a lot of people want to be cared for at home. And it's also you do things like counselling families and for patients as well. So there's a lot more things that go on at the hospice than people realise.
Michelle, a hospice does so much more than people think, and you're absolutely right. The majority of the care that we provide is out in the community. That's the hospice at home team, and it's the same level of care that you would get in our inpatient unit, but you get it in your own home. But that's nursing homes, residential homes as well. And as you said, you know, we have Orange Line, which is a valuable telephone service for the lonely, recently bereaved and isolated. And as you said, family support counselling as well. There's so much that the hospice offers.
And this is it. And we're also, you know, we are one of the largest adult hospices in the UK, and we deal with people in Haverhill, Brentwood, Barking and Dagenham and Redbridge and parts of West Essex. So we cover so many catchment, and the people we see and the drive they have to fundraise for our hospice is absolutely fantastic.
Now, just to dispel a few myths about hospices, some people go in for respite and then they go back home again. Mm. So tell us what it's like at Christmas in the hospice, because we do have this image that you go into hospice and it's very quiet and silent and there's people walking around very gloomy, but it's not like that. And you need to probably get out there that if people have got a life-limiting illness, a hospice, I mean, hospitals are fantastic, but a hospice is just a totally different experience because you've got people there 24/7 that are there to, I know you do go into hospitals as well, but they look after you so well. So that's what it's like.
You've dispelled the myth already straight away, because there's the likes of me and Sean there, so it's very lively. And it's a very warm and friendly and bubbly place as well. And I think you're absolutely right. A lot of people associate it with end of life, and that's not really accurate, if I'm fair. I think that, you know, when somebody receives a diagnosis, how long is a piece of string? We're often supporting patients for 2 years or more sometimes. And I think also sometimes people do come to us in a very poorly condition. But with the specialists that we have there and the team of consultants, a lot of time people pick up, they go home again, and it might be a while before we see them again. It's real specialist care.
And obviously, around the hospice as well, we have a fantastic team of volunteers. And for example, one of the key ones is our gardeners, because you come through the front doors of the hospice and you see these bright and beautiful flowers. And that is all volunteer time. They've all come in on their own time to come in and plant all of these beautiful flowers. So people can, when they come to the front door, think, wow, this is amazing. And it truly is.
And we have to mention the drinks trolley, because when I was speaking to my sister, when she was at St Francis, you looked after her splendidly. I was over in Ireland at the time and I got a phone call. She went, I'm just having a Bailey's. And I thought, no, she's not. She's not having a Bailey's. But she was. So you
she absolutely
yeah,
she was. Absolutely she absolutely was. Yes. So it's like...
And that wasn't just at Christmas.
No. No, that's absolutely every single night. But there is... We have volunteers that push around the trolleys with teas, coffees, hot chocolates. But if you want booze... Mm. That's fine. And it's a very regular occurrence and damn right as well.
Yeah. And there's lots of, you said, volunteers that do things like pedicures and manicures. Yeah. They come in to do people's hair.
Yeah.
Those people, again, fantastic for giving their time to other people. Fundraising, COVID has affected all charities across the country. How has it affected St Francis Hospice?
Well, massively. This gentleman to the left of me was one of the guys that worked the whole way through the pandemic, and respect to him. But I was furloughed twice in that time. Obviously, being a business fundraiser, so many businesses had shut down. There was nobody I could approach. And for that reason, I would never have been able to justify my wage. So it's actually quite funny because my second name is Furno. And I was actually thinking of changing it by deed poll to Andy Furlow because I'd been furloughed twice. But yeah. I think realistically, all mass participation events were closed down. Yeah. Anything that we had scheduled and booked in was either cancelled or rescheduled. All of our shops shut. So the income that come from our retail side, it really was a hideous time. And I think from a fundraising perspective, you know, most hospices in this country have got reserves. And you're never touching those reserves. All the time you're bringing in income and you're fundraising. Mm. When all the fundraising came to a halt, it all became very worrying. Fortunately, our patient services were not affected by that, but the whole condition of the hospice and the way that it was in financially was at risk.
Yeah. One of the first things you asked us was, how many beds do you have at the hospice? Mm. Well, during the time of COVID, we, as I say, we have 18 beds for funding. We went down to 16,
yeah,
and then we went down to 10.
Yeah.
So it was a very, very worrying time. But where our events went down and we couldn't go out there and talk to our community, our little online things rose. Yeah. So like our lottery, people playing our lottery, our sponsor a nurse, all of those little campaigns that we've been working on for so many years,
yeah,
all of a sudden just rose, which was absolutely fantastic.
And you do have a fantastic website as well. Just give out the name for the website.
We do. It's www.sfh.org.uk.
Sorry, Andy, you were just about to speak there.
No, I was going to say that, and I've lost my thread now because you asked me for the website, which is great. You can tell it's live this way, can't
you? Yeah, you can. Now, Christmas tree recycling.
Yes.
This is a way for people. Is this going to raise funds?
It's going to raise a lot of money.
Tell us how it works. Is it for real trees only?
Real trees only. So,
again, I've got a plastic tree in the
garden. You see, so you've got to go out and get a real one.
Yes.
But I think there are, again, there are a lot of hospices that are doing this up and down the country. And St Francis had to look at it in a way that, okay, could this be a beneficial fundraiser for us? So I think it's maybe 3-4 years ago now, Sean, we did a pilot scheme. Mm. And we only did 3 RM codes just to see how the scheme worked, and it was absolutely fantastic. Very enjoyable day, a lot of graft, but a lot of fun. And we did it as a pilot scheme, and then the next year it was much bigger. And this year we're venturing into Brentwood, which is why we've come to see you.
So tell us how it works. People have got a real Christmas tree after Christmas. Yeah. Normally what happens is you put your Christmas tree in the garden hoping that it will disintegrate over the next 7 months, and then you stare at it in July thinking, I should really get that taken away. So what can people do?
Yeah, so after you're done rocking around your Christmas tree at Christmas, which is fantastic, on the 8th and 9th of December, what we do is...
January.
Oh, January, of course. We.
You know what's wrong? He's simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
So we are collecting from the postcodes of this year, from RM 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 11, 12, 13 and 14.
And because we're moving into Brentwood this year, we're collecting from CM 4, 13, 14 and 15.
So, and the plan is simply a donation you would like to give for us to come and collect your tree on the 8th and 9th of January. We'll be absolutely grateful for. If you can leave it in your drive, that's absolutely fantastic. And we will come and collect it on one of those days.
So you just, in your head, you just might say it's £20 or £10. Or is there a
voluntary
minimum
donation?
No, it's a voluntary donation.
Anyone wants to give.
Yeah.
So I'd like to give the web address, if I may. So that's www.sfh.org.uk/Christmas Tree Recycling. And the way that it works, we have a team of tree surgeons and guys like that who donate their time and their chippers. And what we do, the trees are shredded in seconds.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. But I must say, and this is really important, this year's campaign would not be possible without Western Co, who have really stepped forward and supported us with our campaign.
And so that's a great idea. When do people have to let you know by, when they want their trees picked
up? So the deadline is the 4th of January.
Right, okay.
So we need to know by the 4th of January how many trees we're going to do, so then we can calculate our routes and go out there and come and collect your trees.
Which is a great idea, because if you're trying to get rid of it yourself, if you've got a real tree, it is a pain. And as I said, it's normally there when you're having a barbecue in July.
Yeah.
So true. So true. I think the reality is when you go to get your tree, they're usually kind of bagged up, aren't they? Right. Yeah. So they're all very trim when you pick them up. And then you get them indoors and then the bristles start coming off them. And then you've got to get them out the house.
Yes.
And then you think, oh, I've got to get it in the car. I've got to get it down to the local dump, whatever. And you think, oh, God, it's we take that hassle away for you. At the end of the day, you just put the tree on the drive. You register the tree. And it's funny because at work now we have a board where overnight we can see the amount of registration, so we rub out the old amount and put the new amount in. And people are registering their trees. It's growing by the day. But the most important thing is that this whole campaign supports patient care.
Yes.
And so it's something so simplistic to do, you know. You buy your tree, register the tree. You can do that already. Register the tree. We tell you whether we're coming on the 8th or the 9th of January. We take it from your drive. You make a donation. You know, it's that simple.
And also it's the fantastic message of recycling.
Yes.
It's recycling as well. So we are helping the environment by doing this, but also you are making valuable donations to patient care.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So have you guys got Christmas carol services and things coming up? Because I know you've got your hall there, haven't you?
We have. And it's something we've always been really proud of. It's usually right leading up to Christmas. We start with a carol event in our quiet chapel space, and it's simply beautiful.
Mm.
And then what we do is we start with a few carols there, and then we do go onto the wards. I mean, anybody that's there, you don't see anything as such, but every door is left open.
Yeah.
So that any one of our current guests can hear the carols being sung. It's emotional, it's touching. For a lot of those people, it's their very last Christmas. And we as staff, and we may only be fundraisers, but we work side by side with the clinical team at the hospice, and we're all really proud of what we try to do, and we try to make that a really special time for people. And it is a special time, isn't it, Sean?
Yeah. You know what, we do so much work with the families afterwards. There's fantastic counsellors, and obviously it can range from the ages of young child to all the way up to any age our counselling deals with, and it's absolutely fantastic. We have a fantastic group of family support nurses that are there, and they do some fantastic work that we are in awe of as fundraisers.
And we get to see it. I think, Michelle, that's the privilege, because myself and Sean work at base. We get to see every single day where any money that's raised or donated is used. And like you just said, when somebody has a life-limiting illness, it's not just them that lives with the illness. The family do as well. So as you said, when somebody's under the care of the hospice, it's a little bit of a reprieve for the family. I think sometimes, I heard it said before, the hospice can be the best friend that you never knew you had. And I think that support is there. And we were looking at something the other day, me and Sean, that even donations for creative art things for the children as they progress. And we do see children, that because children are resilient, of course, but we see them progress after the loss of a loved one. And it's an all-round good thing.
And this is what we're saying, like, for this campaign, don't think about it as just, oh, I'll give a donation so we can get rid of the tree. Think of it as that donation that you're giving today for donating that tree is like you're there beside that bedside with a patient. You're there seeing their journey, and you're giving to them so they can have that care, which is benefiting them fantastically.
And I think as well, Michelle, myself and Sean, we did a course very recently, and it was looking at, you know, people say to us, what do you do at the hospice, or what does the hospice do? It's quite easy to explain. But what we were actually looking at on this course was, what would the world be like without the hospice? Yes. And for this community and all the communities that we serve, it's an unthinkable thought, because 37 years we've been caring for this community. And, you know, me and Sean, we're just part of the current fundraising team. There were some great fundraisers before we came along, and there will be after our time. Yeah. It's just imperative that the hospice continues to support this community, because St Francis Hospice is not about the people that work there. It's about the people that need it.
Wonderful words from both of you. Thank you. It's so lovely.